May it please Almighty God to bless us together this morning as we meditate in his holy word. Let us turn to the second epistle of Paul to the Timothy, chapter 3, and reading the last two verses. So verses 16 and 17 in the third chapter of the second epistle of Paul to Timothy. And they read, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Sometimes I think it is good just to be reminded of the greatness of God and the wonderful favour it is for us as unworthy sinners to possess the great and glorious truth contained in the Word of God. It is indeed a wonderful thing to think that God, in his grace and mercy and love to his church, has given us his word. In the second epistle of Peter and the first chapter and the last verse in that chapter, we're told, "For the prophecy," that's the word of God, "came not in old time by the will of man." So we can recognize it wasn't the apostle Paul standing up and thinking, "That's a good idea today, I'm going to write a letter to Timothy." We're told this, "But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So let's realise the solemnity and the wonder and the blessing that we have today, that there were all these people, somewhere about 40 different people, who were spoken to by God, and they wrote down the words that he spoke. And those words, as we know, were in the original languages of Hebrew and Greek and some Aramaic, but have been translated for us into English today, so that we have the Word of God, not the Word of man. We should never forget that. This is God's Word. Some people treat it very lightly and irreverently, and yet the great blessing is that you and I have the very Word of God, God's words, which he breathed into all those people all those years ago and saw fit to have it written down, and down through the ages it's been preserved to us. Today, many people have made every effort to destroy the Word of God. You may remember when Tyndale translated the New Testament into English, and that was a wonderful thing. And they were transported from the continent where they were printed back into England and distributed, and people were so keen to have it, they were avidly read it and bought it and used it. But the enemy, the devil, was so keen to get rid of them all, that he brought together those evil people who decided to buy up all the Bibles which had been distributed and to burn them and to get rid of them. So there was, of course, then on that occasion many bonfires with Bibles, New Testaments, being burned. But as so often is the case, the devil overstepped himself, because in their keenness to get rid of these Bibles, they often paid over and above what the market price was, and therefore the money that was collected was then taken back to the continent, and many more Bibles were published and distributed again across the channel to our country. So what a blessing and what a privilege it is that today this has been maintained to us. And of course, as we know, The translations have been improved, but we are gratefully thankful to Almighty God that we have before us today not the Word of Man. And it's important that we emphasize that. It's not the Word of Man. It is the Word of God. And therefore, as you and I read the Word of God, we should not think, well, I don't think that's very correct. I don't think that's very true. I don't think I'm going to go along with that. Remember, you and I are reading the very Word of God. And that should have a big and wonderful influence in our hearts. And to think again, the wonderful privilege that it is that you and I today have the Word of God. There are billions of people in the world who do not have the Word of God in their language or do not want to read the Word of God. What a mercy, what a favour for us today that we have the Bible and we're able to read it. Now, we don't want to just read it as a history book. We don't want to just read it as an account which has been written by a number of people, and there it is, we're able to read it. We need to read it as the Word from God. And as that Word from God is granted to us, that we read it as it may speak to our hearts. And what a blessing if that is so. What a blessing if God has spoken to our hearts. Now, I don't know whether that's true in your life. And you know whether it's true or not. You know whether God has spoken to you from His Word. And if so, what reason you have to bless God, because many people have been passed by. Many people have read the Word of God, but it's never been applied to their heart. They've never realized it's God speaking to them. And they've passed out of time into eternity without coming to know the great and glorious God of the Bible. And again, to realize the greatness of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful to think that we have those three persons as one God. There are mysteries that you and I can't understand, and that's one of them. Naturally speaking, we can't understand that there are three people in one God, but it's true, and the Word of God spells it out to us in many places as you and I are able to piece together quotations and parts of God's Word, which will prove to us that there is God the Father, and there is God the Son, and there is God the Holy Spirit. Well, to think, therefore, that today we have this great and wonderful truth, and it tells us here, all Scripture, you may think, well, I think that's a bit far-fetched. Take God's Word at face value. Believe it as it's written. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Right from Genesis, right through to Revelation. I know there are some parts of the Word of God which are not easy and hard and difficult. And there are, of course, those lists and names which we might think is a bit irrelevant. Well, let's not even think about it from that perspective. And let's realize that this is God's writing, God's Word that He breathed into those that wrote it, and He ordained none less than Almighty God to record everything that is written in the Word of God. And it's a wonderful blessing for us today to have this great and glorious truth. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That is a good list, isn't it? And it's an important list that you and I are able to understand and to recollect that this is what God has given to us, and to believe, therefore, that it is profitable. That means it is a benefit to our souls. So don't think, well, I don't think that was very interesting, that I read today, and I don't think I'll read that again. We need to recognize that God's word is inspired, and he has said that it is profitable. And what a blessing, therefore, as you and I read the word of God, to think, well, has that word, has it been a profit to me? Have I benefited? Have I learned something? Indeed, have I been instructed by it? It's good, you know, if you and I come to these things and recognize the blessing which is ours, and the desire to be instructed by the word of God. You see, it's not being instructed by man's words. It's being instructed by God's word. And surely we can see how relevant and how very important it is, because we do want to be instructed by God's word. We don't want to be instructed by anything less than God's word. What a mercy it is to realize then that we have these wonderful things, these wonderful favors. You know, when the apostle wrote to the Jews, the Hebrews, again, the Hebrews is a wonderful book to read and to truly benefit from. And we're told in the fourth chapter and the second verse this: "For unto us," that means everyone who reads it, "for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." So things which appear to be very, very difficult, you and I need to pray for faith to believe the great and wonderful truth that is contained in the word of God. And of course the apostle tells us what faith is, and it's good to know the word of God, you see, explains things for us. And in the 11th chapter to the Hebrews, we're told now faith, this is what it is: faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So there are many things which you and I cannot actually physically see with our natural eyes, and we can't handle with our natural hands. But the word of God describes it, and what a blessing it is, therefore, if God gives you and me faith to believe in the great truths contained in the word of God. And so let me just read it again. It's familiar, I'm sure, but let me read it again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And there's a margin note about substance which says, or ground of confidence. So faith is the ground of confidence of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so we should be thankful indeed that we have this great word of God. And what a mercy if God has spoken to our hearts and shown us something of the great doctrines contained in the word of God. So it's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is a word perhaps sometimes that we may shy away from. We think it's, well, something which you don't understand. Well, the previous verse, verse 15, helps us in that matter. And that verse tells us, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And that's something just to ponder about, isn't it? Let's let me read that last bit again. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Our great need, all of us, is to know the grace and the favour and blessing of salvation. That means the saving of our souls. That means the eternal safety of our souls. And we have this statement here, which will make us wise unto salvation. That means we'll come to an understanding of what it really means and what a blessing it is when the Holy Spirit applies the Word of God to our hearts to show to us the way of salvation. You may ask me, well, what is the way of salvation? Well, it's always good to ask a question if we don't know. Excuse me. Well, the way of salvation begins when you and I realize, under the influence of the same powerful Holy Spirit that directed all those that wrote the scriptures to show to us that you and I have offended Almighty God. You may say, why have I offended Almighty God? We have offended Almighty God because we have disobeyed Almighty God. And you may think, well, I don't think I've ever disobeyed Almighty God. Well, you read carefully the scriptures, you read carefully the Bible, and you will find there are many things there, many words of instruction, which if you and I are honest with ourselves, we will recognize that we have not kept everything, obeyed everything as we should. And therefore, we have offended God. Therefore, we have disobeyed God. Now, what does that mean? That means, very simply, if we've disobeyed God, that means that we've sinned against God, because every act of disobedience is a sin. And if you and I possess sin, we need that sin to be removed. And that's something that you and I can't remove ourselves. We can't say, well, I think I'm going to turn over a new leaf, and therefore I'm going to start again. We can't start again, because we've got a beginning. And those sins need to be taken away. And this is really the great plan of the Word of God. And it tells us about how our sin will be taken away. And every one of us need to know in our heart that our sins have been taken away. As most of you know, I do often refer to you right back to the beginning in Genesis, which is important because Adam and Eve came into this sinless world, which is a perfect environment, and they spoiled it because through their disobedience they brought sin into the world. And what did they do? They disobeyed God. What did they do? They listened to the devil. And my friends, you and I today are no better than Adam and Eve, because the devil deceived Eve. Yes, and deceived in a very simple way. He asked Eve a question. Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Hath God said? And sometimes you and I might in our minds say, well, has God said I can't do that? Has God said I mustn't do that? It's really because we want to do that. Therefore, the devil is very able and hasn't changed his operation. He still makes us ask that question. Has God said? Well, you know, Eve, she knew what they could do and what they could not do. And she told the devil. She said, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said." Remember that. God has said, "Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." We need sometimes just to think of that. God said, don't touch it. Don't even touch it. Sometimes there are things, aren't there, in our life which we may think, well, can I do that? Can I get involved in that? Don't touch it. Don't even touch it. She remembered what God had said. And you see, you and I have a conscience that reminds us of what the Word of God says. But the devil told her, you won't die. You shall not surely die. Total opposite to what God had said. But you see, we're told the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Just a simple action, wasn't it? A simple action. You know, that simple action was the worst action that's ever occurred, because it brought sin into the world. And we're told, there's a line in the hymn which says, all creation groans through the effect of that sin. Well, that was the situation, and of course their eyes then, their mind understood what they'd done. They realised they'd done that which was wrong. And you see, they then tried to hide from God. You and I can never hide from God. Don't think you will be able to hide from God. God's in every place. Every single place. He knows what we're thinking, what we're saying, what we're doing. And we cannot hide. We cannot hide from God. Well, God knew where they were trying to hide. And he asked them, where art thou? And then they came and began to make excuses. My friend, excuses don't stand up before God. They don't stand up before God. You see, Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the devil. But you see, they had sinned. They had sinned. And therefore, the Lord said, he spoke to Satan, and he said, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. It's interesting, isn't it, that today we still see snakes or serpents, don't we? And does it remind you, when you look at a snake or a serpent, what it is? It's the curse of God upon them. And then the Lord says, and this is the wonderful gospel that is recorded way, way back. And this is what God said to Adam and Eve. I will put enmity, in the 15th verse of the 3rd chapter, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And what that prophecy is about, the seed of the woman was none less than the Lord Jesus Christ. There was the glorious prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ to come. And what would happen? her seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, would indeed bruise, would squash the head of the Satan. You see, it was a wonderful prophecy that came to pass many years later. Some 4,000 years had to pass before that came to pass. And yet, the church of God, the true church of God, would have been reliant upon that great promise for their salvation. Well, what a mercy it is today that we have the great glorious truth of this salvation, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. But of course, we weren't in the Garden of Eden, were we? But what a blessing it is if God gives you and me faith to believe that that did occur. And because that occurred, sin passed upon all of us. We're all guilty. We're all sinners. And we all need forgiveness. And how was that sin going to be taken away? Well, the scripture tells us, and there's a very wonderful word in John 3:16, and this is the verse, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only beloved Son, and whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting or eternal life." And what does that mean? That means that God gives us faith to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to die in our place as our substitute. He took upon him our sins, the sins of all his people. And he died. He gave his life, which was payment for our sin. Now, I've said that in a few words. But if you read the Word of God, really from Genesis to Revelation, you will find there are many references to this great and wonderful work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see there the wonderful mercy of God displayed in that Garden of Eden. Yes, to poor sinful mankind. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That means it's a benefit. That means it's that which is a help and instructive to us. Well, what a blessing today if you and I can recognize the wonder of God's plan of salvation. Make us wise. The devil doesn't want you and me to be wise. He wants us to be ignorant of the great way of salvation. He doesn't want us to understand the great truth of God. He doesn't want us to read the Bible. That's why he does all he can in this world to stop people reading the Bible. That's why it's a wonderful privilege that we have to be able to offer Bibles freely outside the chapel, so that by God's grace and favour there may be those that take the Bibles and open it and read the Bible, and they find in that the glorious plan of salvation, and God gives them faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the great plan, the great glory of the gospel. And what a mercy it is for us if we're able to realize that God has blessed us with that, which are able, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The blessed Saviour gives us faith to believe. Well, have we been given that great and glorious gift of faith to believe? It's not something you and I can work ourselves up to. No, and God gives us that gift, and he gives us that gift to show his amazing love to unworthy sinners. You will never come to that place and think, well, I deserve God to look upon me. It'll be the opposite. You'll say, I never deserve God to look upon me. And yet how wonderful for me it is that God looked upon me. Again, there's a line of a hymn. He saw me ruined in the fall. That was the fall of Adam, when Adam and Eve fell by singing. He saw me ruined in the fall, but loved me notwithstanding all. Surely it's very humbling to realize here we have this great simple statement. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God's given his word to us today. Here we are. Do we appreciate it? Do we love it? Is it something that we realize speaks to us about our salvation, and therefore directs us beyond our life on this earth to that life which is to come, when by his grace we shall see him as he is in glory, and that forever, and that without any sin, in that perfect harmony of glory? That's the prospect, and that's really what is set before us in the Word of God. And what a mercy it is, therefore, that we have such great and glorious truths. And we are here given this wonderful blessing, and we are not to despise it. You know, we're not to turn away from it. Again, there are many, many truths in the Word of God which speak to us about these things and are warnings to us. And the Proverbs, as you know, is a wonderful book of instruction, and in the 15th chapter we can read this. In the 15th chapter and the 31st verse, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. And the last verse is, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Well, here we have two statements about instruction. Two statements that speak to us here about this which is profitable, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What a wonderful thing it is that we have God's word to instruct us, but we're not to refuse the instruction. And it's spelled out here, isn't it, very simply, he that refuseth instruction despises his own soul. That means you and I don't consider our soul has any value. We despise it. And yet the reality is, our soul is the most valuable thing that we possess, because it will never die. And the important thing is that therefore, that we do hear and we do understand. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. What a mercy it is if God gives you and me, therefore, this spiritual understanding. The scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Quite clearly, you see, the Word of God is very comprehensive in that which it contains. And it's a great blessing for us if God has brought us to that position where we desire to have a heart opened by God to receive his word, to not turn away from it, to not think, well, I can ignore that, to read the word of God and count it as the word of God and the word of God speaking to our very, very soul. How relevant, how important it is for us today. Well, it's a great mercy, is it not? And what a blessing it is. You know, this letter to Timothy, the apostle tells us, he says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we should also live with him. If we suffer, we should also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. It's clear, isn't it? What a blessing it is if we have spiritual understanding and that we don't turn away from God. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. And therefore, of these things, put them in remembrance. That's the apostle speaking to Timothy. Put the people in remembrance of these things. Don't let them forget it. Don't let them not hear about it. Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, my friends, it's a wonderful epistle, wonderful letter. These two letters to Timothy are well worth sitting down and reading, and you shouldn't think that they only apply to ministers of the gospel, because Timothy was a minister of the gospel. They apply to the church of God, and we should recollect and recognize the relevance of them unto our own hearts, our own life. We have, each of us, a never dying soul. And that means what it is, a never dying soul. We must spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. And what a blessing it is that we have, therefore, the word of God to show unto us the way of salvation. And if God gives us faith to believe and to pray to God, that he will show us that we are amongst those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ has indeed died, has given himself. Now, this next verse is very briefly. The man of God may be perfect. You may think, well, that's impossible. Can't be perfect. Well, in and of ourselves, of course, we can't be perfect. But it can also be translated as complete. That the man of God may be complete. And that makes it a bit more comprehensible for us, isn't it? To be complete means that we therefore have a right understanding of the way of salvation. And the way of salvation, as I've listed or gone through, is to know that we are guilty before God and that we need a Saviour, and the only Saviour that will redeem our souls is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if the Blessed Spirit shows you and me, gives us faith to believe this great and glorious truth, we are complete in him. Not in ourselves, but we're complete in him through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Let us never underestimate the glory and the wonder of that work. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, as the apostle said, to save sinners. It's a great truth, isn't it? To think that he came into this world to save you and me from eternal damnation, to save our souls, so that by his grace one day we shall be with him in glory forever. Oh, it's a wonderful prospect, isn't it? We shall have finished with all these poor things of this life, of all the sins which easily beset us, for all the evil things, and to realize that we shall be at peace in glory. Well, that the man of God, and everyone who is made perfect is a man of God or a woman of God, a child of God, and truly furnished unto all good works. That means we shall desire to do those things which are good and right and God-honoring, and not listen or take it. We shall have, the devil will endeavour to captivate us. It's interesting, isn't it? You see, he brings things before our minds which are attractive to you and to me. What might be attractive to you wouldn't be to me. The devil knows what it is. Sometimes I think of our dear friend Frank, who, as you know, he and I were united together, and when we met, I was very keen on sport. He wasn't keen at all. Didn't interest him, really. He was very keen on the theatre. I wasn't interested at all. You see, it wasn't anything that attracted me. The devil knows exactly what attracts us, and therefore he will direct us in that avenue and try and turn us away from the things of God and put those things before us and try to impress us that there's no harm in just being involved in this and just being involved in that. Well, you know, there's a very simple way of discerning whether it's good or bad, and it's this really: does it bring us closer to Christ, or does it take us farther away? That's a good test, isn't it? You see, truly furnished unto all good works, to turn away from the things which perhaps you and I want to go after. Yes, and it's hard work sometimes. Hard work to turn away from the things that the devil brings before us. Don't forget, Eve in the Garden of Eden. It was quite simple, wasn't it? All she had to do, the devil would say, no, I don't want to. I've been told not to. But no, she looked at it. She thought it looked rather nice. And therefore she was tempted and partook of it. And sin. So easy, isn't it? Don't be confused. Don't be taken in by what we might say is the subtlety of Satan. He's very clever. He's very clever. And he'll try and wheedle his way in to make you sin and to depart from God. Well, my friends, what a blessing it is that you and I have the Word of God. Let us never underestimate the wonderful blessing that we have today. And recognize that, as I've said, billions who do not have the benefit that we have. God has given it to us. And this is it. All Scripture. All of it. Don't just read the New Testament. Don't just read the Psalms. All Scripture is given by inspiration. God breathed into men of old, and they wrote down what God told them to write. It wasn't them, it was God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Amen.